Hello and welcome to the Board Game Point of View, a branch of VassaCorp and a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. We thank you for your patience and ask that you please stay on the line as we transfer you to the show.
Welcome to the Board Game Point of View.
We are a group dedicated to the betterment of all people under the banner of tabletop gaming.
And also a proud member of the Dice Tower Network.
My name is Adam. I'm your moderator. Tonight I'm joined by Steven.
That intro, though.
I know. And Seth.
Just wait for the outro.
Hype.
Yeah.
Keep you on the edge of your seat all podcast long.
That's right. We do have a lot to talk about, though.
Do we?
We do.
Okay.
We have at least an average amount of stuff to talk about.
Exactly.
So much stuff!
So we're just going to dive right in, talking about life. Steven, how's your life?
My life's good. I'm just waiting for you, Adam.
Yeah, I suppose we could talk about my life, maybe.
Yeah, let's talk about your life and how it, like,
is impacting everybody else's life.
Yes.
Yeah, so this whole adventure started about a year ago. We were playing games at the coffee shop where we do our monthly board game night, which, by the way, Steven informed me, 1 year anniversary of doing board games at the coffee shop.
What?
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Almost to the day.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But we got to know the manager there, Mr. Pippinich, who has been on the podcast, actually. And just over the course of a few months, we had a few different coffee meetups. And he told me about this venture that he was embarking on.
On the adventure of a lifetime?
Say anything.
Sounds like he's proposing to me.
I know.
I mean, it was a proposition.
So it was.
And I'm wrong.
Adam is wearing a ring right now. So,
So connect the dots, people.
Hey-o.
So Mr. Pippinich sat me down and said, hey,
will you marry me?
No. No. No, he didn't say that. But he did say, I'm thinking about starting my own coffee shop. Would you be interested
in marrying me? I'm sorry.
No, no. He said, would you be interested in being a part of it? And I said, heck yes. And so fast forward to about October, we found a location in downtown Billings in a very old hotel that's over 100 years old that needed just a little bit of love before we could open up. It turned out to be more work than we anticipated. However, we are kind of in the home stretch now. And since about November 1st, I have spent the majority of my evenings and weekends renovating the kind of first floor of this old hotel. So that will be our headquarters at some point, probably within the next couple of months. So I just wanted to let the listeners know that that is at least what I've been up to, and primarily the reason we haven't been doing two podcasts a month, why we've fallen off the radar in terms of written reviews on our website and some of our other social media. But we should start doing two again here as soon as the doors open to this headquarters. We plan to podcast from somewhere in that space. The roasting room, maybe, where we roast the beans. The dungeonous basement filled with cages.
Or the superhero closet filled with sprinklers.
That's right. So once those doors open, you should be hearing a lot more from us, but it's a pretty cool adventure, and board games actually played kind of a big part in bringing it to fruition, at least for me. I don't know that we would have interacted with Mr. Pippinich as much if we hadn't started doing board games in the coffee shop there.
Yeah, definitely. So,
a lot of things coming together. I think there is a bigger picture here, a bigger plan for this venture. I don't know what it is yet. I just got to get the doors open. That's all I can concentrate on right now. Mm-hmm.
The reason why this whole adventure also impacts my life and the lives of many others
right,
is because they basically went through the hiring process already.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a job waiting at said coffee shop
right,
as soon as the doors open. And it's pretty annoying waiting for a job, waiting for a job that you're excited for. But then every time it's like, dude, it's only 2 weeks away. It's like, well, the inspection came and we have to do 6 more things.
That's
so
right.
It's another month.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I've been kind of on the edge of my seat, I guess. Right. But I'm excited. I think it's going to be pretty awesome.
Right. Steven will be our head chef.
Yes, I will be. So
wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And also trainee roaster.
Right.
So
learning how to roast those beans.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm
going to
be looking like a swag devil, too.
You are. We have a very high-profile dress code.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually super thrilled about that. maybe slightly less classy than a tuxedo.
Right.
But cooler than a tuxedo, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah.
I'm totally going to be rocking a pocket watch. So,
yeah.
Whoa, what?
Oh, yes.
You're not wearing a blazer or a tux? Where are you going to put the pocket watch?
Dude, in my vest.
Oh, okay. Vest.
That's part of my personal head chef uniform is the pocket watch. But
it's in the employee handbook, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so that is a peek into my life, and that has pretty much been my life for the past 6 months, outside of all the other little things I do, so.
Are we going to have a sticker in the window of the coffee shop that says Home of the Board Game Point of View?
I feel like we should,
yeah.
Actually. That would be really cool.
That would be fun. Yeah. We'll have talk to Mr. Pippinich about that. He'll be running the shop.
Well, I mean, basically, we've been calling it our headquarters for months now.
Right.
So he's kind of going to have to accept it, or everybody's going to be disappointed.
Or I'll be like, hey. Head chef? Yeah, he's rolling out of here. Which I still need to set up a mock interview with him.
Yeah.
So he can ask you, tell me a little bit about yourself. Where do you see yourself succeeding in the future? What do you want out of this job?
Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Yeah. Just tell me about a time when you faced adversity and overcame it. Then you just start sweating.
Right now.
Dude, that's what I thought was going to happen. I had an interview just on Wednesday, but it was pretty chill, so. But I was practicing beforehand for all those questions.
Mm-hmm. And then they were just like, dude, what's your favorite video game, bro?
Basically. And they're like, do you like websites?
<You're> like, no,
do you know what a website
is?
Internet. Do you know what Photoshop is? And I was like, kind of. Also, I've been to Ecuador, and the guy's like, I've been climbing in Ecuador. So we had a bond. We had a bond.
Okay. That's where you go when someone asks you if you've used Photoshop. No.
It just happens.
I've been to Ecuador.
It just happens. I just go with the flow, man.
That's the flow? What flow? Okay.
You had to be there, really.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Seth, what's happening in Bozeman?
Dude, crazy things are happening in Bozeman.
Really?
So many things are in progress right now. First of all, I might start DJing.
Nice.
Yeah.
What?
I'm getting some contacts in the scene, and since I produce electronic music, I'm gonna hit them up with my tracks and stuff, and we'll see what happens. But I got some contacts.
Nice.
Yeah. As far as music goes, I'm gonna release an EP within the month.
Nice.
So there's that.
Very cool. DJ Cold Cuts.
That what?
No?
No. Okay.
I do have a name, yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a name yet, Seth?
I'm not a DJ yet, so you can't say DJ name. But my producer alias is actually just Paladin.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
Yep. Oh yeah, also board game days here in Bozeman that I've been hosting have been going really well. Been having
awesome.
A steady slew of people show up playing fun games.
That's great.
Lots of Carcassonne for some reason. Everybody's fixated on that. I will probably buy Carcassonne here soon and some expansions since everyone loves it so much.
The game of Bozeman is Carcassonne. Who saw
that
coming?
Yeah, right now.
What is the game of Billings then?
Splendor.
Splendor? Yeah.
Splendor.
I don't know.
That's funny. Either.
A lot of people I know here really like Catan.
Catan? Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe
Catan
that would be
is
it.
A classic.
Even though we haven't even really played it as a group, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I mean, we have, just not you.
Ah.
I'm just,
I see how it is. Wow.
Okay.
Enough about your life, Seth. I would be moving up in the world if Adam's shop would open.
See, here's what you got to do. Quit your job. Put the pressure on. Be like, Adam, I'm unemployed.
Adam, I have no money right now.
I'm starving.
I've already told him he can't quit his job until we're open, so.
Dude, you're not the boss of me.
Not yet. But if you were the boss of me, you could tell me to not quit my job. Wait a minute.
Well, that's awesome that your board games are going well at Rook's there in Bozeman.
Yeah.
That is actually really exciting. You are the lone representative of BGPOV in Bozeman.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I try to work in every now and then, like when we play a game, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to review this on the podcast. And they're like,
oh.
And I just like kind of mystically know all the games, you know? So they're like, we should play this. And I'm like, nah. That's not good. And they're like, what?
We should play Camel Up. No, don't do it.
Funny story, though. We played Camel Up at the board game night here at Rock Creek just a few nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was warmly received.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I still kind of want to try Camel Up.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I missed out on Catan, and you missed out on Camel Up. You win in this scenario. But...
Yep.
No, Camel Up was pretty good. I think playing it with adults.
What are you saying?
It's a lot more
me?
Fun. No. No, I'm saying we primarily played this with the youth group.
Oh, yeah.
All they wanted to do was turn that pyramid over and roll the dice.
Which you can't really blame them for.
Right, I know.
But
yeah, I think.
But that's not how you win the game.
Yeah, but that's how you have fun. And isn't that really winning in and of itself?
Not when you're 14. You got to prove to everybody you're the best.
You got to build up all that confidence so that as soon as you graduate and you lose it all.
Yeah, so when you have that sliver, you're like,
you
go back in high school, I was cool.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I feel every day.
You go to college, you pull your hair out, you're stressed 24/7, and you're like, wow, in high school, those were the days.
Back when I could just flip a pyramid over and win.
Yep. And then later on, you know, wow, high school sucked. At least that's what I hear.
It's kind of two sides of the same coin, you know?
Yeah, you guys are kind of living that transition right now.
It's not fun. Well, it's kind of...
It's fantastic.
I don't know. It's okay. It's okay. It has its ups and downs. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Definitely. No, yeah, I think basing any game's merit off of playing it with the youth group, you really can't trust it. Like, sure, maybe it is a good game, or maybe it's a bad game, but you just don't know after that. There's no data that you receive.
Playing a game with the youth group is like floating among space with a bunch of space mammoths. It's like, it makes you just question so many things in life. You're like, here I am, just among the stars, and there's a space mammoth, and I don't know what to do with myself.
What? See, even more precisely, it's like trying to collect data about light being reflected off the space mammoth. Like, you get a whole bunch of it, you just have no idea what it means.
You're like, what? I can't even comprehend this right now.
Yeah.
That is playing games with the youth group. And by God, we love it. Because who doesn't love a good space mammoth? Who?
Oh, I will say of Camel Up, I did play it with the adults, and it was still not that much fun, at least for me. But
Well, the interesting thing here is, isn't that game technically geared more towards the younger audience?
It is. It is a family game, yeah.
The only group we haven't played it yet with is like 7-year-olds.
Right.
So maybe we should just walk up to a bunch of little kids on the street and be like, hey, you want to play a game? That'll go over well.
Oh.
So, Small World? What?
Yeah, we are going to talk about Small World. And then a game that we actually like.
So, oh, okay, there it is.
Get wrecked.
So, I had Steven finally play Small World the other day.
Oh, nice. I was just going to ask if any of us had played it recently, because I definitely have not.
We did, and I tried to be as enthusiastic about it as I could. Mm-hmm. The theme of Small World is that you are any number of races trying to inhabit a small region of a fantasy world. And these are pretty typical fantasy races, things that you would expect. So you've got your humans, you've got your wizards, orcs, elves. And on top of that, you can ratchet on kind of a special attribute to each of these. So maybe you've got diplomatic humans and commando elves or pillaging ghouls. And you can rearrange the races and these attributes in almost an infinite number of ways. And in that regard, the game is very cool. There's a lot of kind of at least replayability in that you will probably not be playing the same race again over the course of a handful of games. So you're all trying to inhabit this small region. It's a simple area control game. There's no dice, but what you have are units, and if you have more units than the region next to you, you can mosey on in and claim that particular region. The regions are, again, pretty stereotypical things. You've got forest and grassland and prairie and mountainous regions. And each of these regions is going to have a special effect based on your race. There are races and abilities that allow you to fly around the board. And all of this sounds very interesting and very cool. However, when you boil it down, it's just a simple area control.
This game is interesting because, you know, all the things you just mentioned about the races, it leads to a lot of, like, high expectations as soon as you open the box. Mm-hmm. Because you're thinking, wow, this is going to be really cool. And then the gameplay gets very boring and very repetitive very quickly for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool at first, and then as you go through the 10 rounds, it's kind of like, wow, we're just kind of going back and forth, really doing almost nothing. And I like it. It's just so simple that in a lot of ways, it's not a bad game to like introduce people to. It's very accessible.
Mm-hmm.
However, even just the other night at Rock Creek, you asked if I wanted to play it, and I was very avid that I did not, because I was in a good mood, I was having a lot of fun, and I was like, I don't really want to get bogged down in some game of Small World and right. just do the same thing over and over again. And that speaks a lot, I feel, because in a game you want people to want to play it, obviously, mm-hmm. and at least in my experience, despite the fact that it's very well made, I just don't really want to play it.
Yeah. I guess the mechanic I failed to mention in the game is that you will be playing multiple races over the course of the 10 rounds. So as soon as your units are depleted enough to where you really can't take over another region, you put them into what's called decline. And you skip your turn and pick a new race from the 6 that are available to you. And on your next turn, you run in off the side of the board and pillage and plunder to your heart's content with your new race. So there is a little bit of strategy, at least in that regard, when to say, I'm stretched as thin as I can go here, I better go into decline and snatch up a new race. And the point scoring is fairly simple. It's just however many pieces of land you control at the end of your turn is how many coins you get. And your race is going to give you additional victory points. And over the course of the 10 rounds, whoever has the most points wins. I will say I do like the point scoring in the fact that you've got, I think, coins 1, 3, 5, and 10. And they all look the same on one side, so that you can stack them up in a nice big stack, and people can look and see at least how many you have, but they don't know what the value of it is. So there is, unless you're counting points like some sort of savant, it's going to be very difficult to actually keep track of people's points. And this plays up to five.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do actually really like that that feature with mm-hmm. point counting. Yeah. I don't know. My biggest thing with this game, I think when it comes back to the repetitiveness, mm-hmm. is that basically every round you take territory, get your points, almost immediately lose that territory, and then they get points, and then you take the territory right back, and then you get points, and then you lose the territory again. Yeah. And it just goes back and forth nonstop. Now, with five players, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just the same thing, really.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, so I don't remember all the specifics, obviously, but mm-hmm. I can definitely relate to the feeling of when Steven was saying, you take it, they take it, you take it. It kind of never right. felt like you were really accomplishing anything, especially mm-hmm. since one of the, you know, mechanics of the game is going into decline. It's like you're being rewarded for just giving up. I don't know. So yeah, just, all I remember is like basically how it made me feel. And it was just kind of, yeah, sit back, watch. You kind of do something, but it doesn't really feel like you're accomplishing a whole lot. Mm-hmm. So then the game just kind of ends. So it's just like, oh, game's over. Who got the most points?
For sure. The only real turn I really felt like I accomplished anything was I took over the mountains. And the thing about the mountains is that it adds one defense
right
automatically to your that location, and then on top of that I also built a fortress mm-hmm. because the ability of my race at that time was to build fortresses that also adds defense,
right?
So then I had a fortress atop a mountain with like three units in it as well,
mm-hmm.
and that's like that's six defense,
yeah,
five defense. I can't do math, but the math. Point is
right.
That I felt secure that one spot at least would mm-hmm. not just be taken over immediately.
Sure.
And then that made me feel good. Right. So that was like the one thing.
Yeah.
Because everything else, you take over all this land and you immediately know, well, I don't actually really have this land because it's going to be gone in a matter of seconds. And I can't even really do anything about it.
Right.
Because that's just how the game works.
Yeah.
And,
well, yeah, it's in the title. The map is always too small for the number of units that are going to inhabit it. And the game does come with two different boards that are both double-sided. The production quality of the game, it's a Days of Wonder production, so it's fairly high quality. And I think they've done a deluxe edition of this game with miniatures and really nice tokens.
Okay, so I did find the Small World Designer Edition, which comes okay. with a whole bunch of miniatures. Actually, nice. Pretty cool miniatures. I like them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool tokens and stuff. So, there's that. If you like the game, then there's this really sweet Designer Edition with a wooden box even.
Right.
It says it's 40 pounds, so...
Wow.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
The thing is, that would add even more to the, like, what I said before, the high expectations and, like, the cool look of the game, but the gameplay would be the same. So I don't know if it would
sure.
really,
yeah.
for me personally, I love miniatures. So
right.
this is a shocker for me to say this,
right.
but I don't actually think the miniatures would really help me.
Yeah.
Right.
But,
well, I continue to play this game. Because it is a good game to introduce to people who are getting into the hobby. My in-laws really enjoyed playing this game, and they're not very big board gamers. So, you know, the simple area control, the kind of whimsical nature of the characters does lend itself to at least helping get people interested in board games. You know, they sit down and it doesn't look like Monopoly. It feels kind of like Risk. But it's sillier. It doesn't take as long, which I think is also kind of a big deterrent for people who are looking to get into board games. They don't want to play Monopoly for 3 hours or Risk for 3 hours. You can play a game of Small World in about an hour. The artwork in the game is pretty cool. Steven, I know this is not your style. Once again, I continue to make you play games that are...
not my style.
Yeah.
Dude, I should go to a different podcast. I'm kidding, of course. But it is quite funny how opposite Adam and I's tastes are when it comes to artwork, at least. At the very least, artwork. Yeah, we have a lot in common, Adam, but artwork is not one of those things.
No, it is not. No.
And, I mean, it's good artwork. It's done well, don't get me wrong, but it's just still not my style.
Right.
You know, it's very...
it's not cool artwork.
Everything about this game is cool except for the gameplay.
How does Tom Vassell feel about Small World?
He loves the game.
Oh no. We've done it. We've really stepped in it this time.
So, that is Small World, the much talked about but never reviewed until now Days of Wonder game.
We really like to do that, don't we?
We do.
We talk about a game for 5 weeks before we ever...
Well, you know, this, like so many, I think people have played... But this was more for the fans. Like, why doesn't Adam like Small World? Now they know.
Mm-hmm.
But I will continue to play it.
So the moral of the story is everyone should come to Billings, come to our coffee shop, and have Adam play Small World with you. Because he loves it. Loves it.
And also buy lots of coffee.
And eat food that I prepare for you.
Oh yeah, hey, eat food from the master chef.
So let me just say this before we move on. I think we are in the minority here in terms of our opinion of Small World. I know a lot of people that enjoy this game and play it quite frequently. There are half a dozen expansions at least, adding even more races to the game. So don't let us deter you from at least playing this game and deciding for yourself whether you like it. And that should be the case for probably anything we review. If it looks interesting to you, definitely give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
But if you disagree with us...
Stop listening now.
Yeah. You probably shouldn't actually say that.
No.
We have zero listeners if we say that.
Because we're so controversial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know us.
Yep. That's what keeps them coming back. Like, what shocking thing will they say this time?
Balls.
Oh. Wow.
Oh. What?
Oh. Oh, jeez. We can't air that.
This entire podcast is just scrapped now.
I'm deleting my recording right now.
The next game we're going to review is from Yellow, who I think is probably my favorite company in terms of artwork. All of their artwork seems to be very family-friendly, illustrative kind of quality, whimsical. The game we're going to talk about next is Zombie 15.
I actually like this artwork, by the way.
Nice.
So,
yeah.
Awesome. Me too.
I mean, is it my favorite in the world? Not necessarily, but I do thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah.
So... Take that.
I think it works really
setup.
Well.
No, that's right.
Yeah, it works really well with the game.
Yeah. Steven, do you want to have a go at explaining this game?
No. No, I don't. I don't, actually. So it's a zombie game.
There are zombies, okay.
So this is a cooperative zombie game.
It is, yeah.
That has 15 chapters, I guess you could call them.
Yeah.
It has a great narrative behind it.
Mm-hmm.
The story is that everyone over the age of 18 has been turned into a zombie, and no one quite knows why, but you are a group of teenagers who are trying to survive the zombie outbreak. The game takes place in 15-minute rounds, and you set up the map. It's double-sided tiles. Very detailed.
Mm-hmm.
Tiles have a lot of work put into them, you can tell.
Right.
Everything from random little run-over corpses to cars that have gone through the railing of a bridge and are now in a lake.
Right.
And just all sorts of crazy things. And
I think we're in some sort of suburban kind of middle-class setting.
Yeah. It would appear that way,
yeah.
Yes. The players, you know, you have miniatures on the board. Each player controls a character. They have special abilities and everything else. And the point of the game is, you know, you have an objective each round, and you move along the board, going from tile to tile, killing zombies and searching for equipment. You can search houses and get either find more zombies, which is, you know, less desirable, or you can find guns, melee weapons, you know, health kits, any of that. And you just work together to survive, pretty much.
Right.
As you get later in the game, hordes arrive. And so while you're listening to the soundtrack that comes with the game, fancy soundtrack.
That's right. It's pretty creepy.
Yeah. And that's just, you know, so you can keep track of the 15 minutes. Right. But there is a growl in the soundtrack. And every time that happens, you flip over a card. Zombies show up regardless.
Right.
But every now and then you flip over a horde card. And all the zombies that have been gathering in this box just plop out on your tile.
Right.
And that can be up to like 20, 25 zombies if you let it get that out of hand.
Right.
Which is very discouraging. I think
that's my favorite mechanic in the whole game.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's very tense.
Yeah.
It's devastatingly awesome.
And the horde is gathering because as you're searching, as you're running through the town, you make noise every now and then when you discharge a weapon.
Yeah.
And the like, so more and more zombies are attracted to you, which is kind of the narrative there for that mechanic.
I think it's great for balancing the game because you pick up these really strong weapons that can kill lots of zombies with one action, but then they're also just making a lot of noise, so they're putting more in. So you have to make the decision to, first of all, keep this noisy weapon when you loot it, and second of all, use it, even though you know a horde card might be coming soon. And especially when you're just going through and everything's going nice and you haven't drawn a horde card for a while, then it really starts to pile up. And that's when you can get to the very end of a scenario and suddenly 30 zombies are spilling out and you have to kill all of them and they're knocking you down. And it's crazy.
Right.
It's awesome.
I feel like this may have happened to you, Seth.
Definitely.
Nice. Let's talk about the characters because... I think there's some pretty interesting characters here. There are 8, and as you'd imagine, they range in ability, melee weapon, long range. Some are faster. Some can carry more.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you play as, Seth, when you played this last time?
I'm trying to remember her name. She was the chick with the 2 pistols. I think it was like...
Severity.
Severity. Yeah, that's right. I was like Severance, Severe. I picked her because her name was very close to my last name, so I was like, perfect.
That's right. Yeah.
Plus, she's just cool.
That is the same character that I chose.
Yeah, she's also the coolest.
I disagree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's 2-1, so.
That's right.
So get out.
I mean, who's cooler than Severity?
I was rocking Hazel with the electric guitar.
I don't know. I think she's trying too hard. She's in that like angsty teen phase, you know.
No, she just doesn't care.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think Severity just doesn't care. She's just like stone cold killer.
She does what it takes.
I think she's
from some sort of private school where she has probably learned to fence and. A number of other survival techniques.
Latin, probably.
Probably a good first choice, yeah. Severity.
Mm-hmm. No, but all of the characters are super cool. And I already said that the Horde was probably my favorite mechanic, but I really like how each character has advantages and disadvantages.
Exactly.
Because that really changes up how you play. I know, you know, one of my friends was playing as the character who can move only 2 tiles around. And so he's trying to do other things, but then he's got to remember that he needs to move almost every round to keep up with us. And we're just like, come on, keep up, we gotta go, the horde's coming, and he's like lagging behind, and zombies are attacking him. And it's like, but then he has his other bonuses that kind of make up for it, so it was really awesome.
Yeah, and I think that was the youngest character.
Yeah.
His name is Will, and he looks like he's probably 9 or 10. So I think the abilities match up really well with the characters.
I think so, too.
And I think they've themed it really well in that way. Steven and Tara and I played about half of the scenarios, I'd say.
Oh, nice.
Tara had Will, and Steven rocked Severity, and I was...
For a few rounds. I will point out that I played one round two technically, but as Vance as well.
Right.
Who, of course, is the dual machete wielding, like, athlete guy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he actually, we can get into this later maybe, but he, the pros and cons of his card.
Right.
Came into play rather severely. but we can come back to that.
Right, yeah. So the characters are great, and you start the game kind of all on an equal playing field. Nobody really has special abilities. Like a lot of games, you kind of jump right into it, and you learn how to play as the game kind of ramps up from scenario to scenario. And about two rounds in, you actually get your special ability. You flip your character card over, and there it is. And I don't know that any of us looked at what our special abilities were before playing. We just kind of grabbed the ones we thought were the coolest. And I really liked playing that way because it was a fun surprise to turn the card over and, oh, okay, this is what I'm doing now. This is kind of my role in the group. How many people did you play this with, Seth?
We had four total.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So it maxes out at four, so you had the full complement.
I think four is a good number, and especially because the way that zombies show up and the way that the horde works, it doesn't make it any easier to have more people to search and fight, because then just more zombies are showing up as you're drawing cards and stuff, and so it adds a lot of variety in the fact that you can assign people to do different tasks. Like, there were the scenarios where you had to go get the keys and stuff. So we had some people that we split up into two groups, and some people can go grab the keys while the rest of the way people clear the path for us. So stuff like that was pretty fun. So I definitely would recommend with four people. Did you guys, I imagine you did similar things with three.
Yeah, we did. When we had to split up, generally somebody would follow Steven and just mess him up as he...
really. Okay, I have a little bit of a bone to pick. Okay. Every time... You guys would announce, okay, we're going over here. Steven, you take the left side or whatever. Because I'm Severity. I'm BA. I can handle it.
Yeah.
And I would start off on my merry way. And then randomly, and I'm not wanting to badmouth anyone, but I just got to say, because it's what happened, Tara would somehow show up with little Will and would be in the house with me. And I'm like, why are you over here? And she'd search and get like seven zombies to show up every time. And I have all this ammo. Everything's clear. I'm like, dude, things are going well for me. And then it was always someone else who would show up and be like, oh, here's a bunch of zombies, by the way. And the problem with Severity, if we want to talk about skills.
Sure.
She has an extra health point.
Right.
And she also gets a bonus to what's called the fend off score, and that applies to weapons. It's how many zombies you can defend against when you're not in play, pretty much.
Right.
So she gets a bonus to that. However, she cannot be healed by a first aid kit.
Right.
And that is a big deal.
It is kind of a big deal.
because if, over the course of like a longer round with a large map and a lot of zombies and with people sabotaging you along the way, you know? You take a lot of damage, and never being able to heal is kind of a pain in the butt.
So yeah, that's how we played. We just followed Steven around and messed him up wherever he went. However, Steven and I did get to play this just two-player as well.
Okay.
That's when I tried Vance, by the way. Right. So we kind of changed it up a little bit.
Right. So when we had to split up during one of the missions, it actually... was a lot harder, I think, than maybe playing with three or four, because the mission called for us to split up. So we didn't even have a choice in the matter. And the location that Steven was trying to get to got overrun by probably about 20 zombies.
Yeah, a horde showed up.
Right.
And it was you had to search for the keys, and they could be in one of two locations. And it was one of those classic things where I went to the first location and wasn't there.
Right.
So I'm like, well, I have to go to this location now with a big horde, like two tiles in front of it that I had to go through.
Right.
And that was fun.
Yeah. So I had to abandon kind of what I was doing at that time and run up, and we had to take this kind of horde of zombies down.
Which we did do.
We did, yeah.
Nice.
Just two of us.
Yeah.
Took on a horde because we're awesome like that.
That's right. I did like kind of the, because there were only two of us, the communication was faster. So we could kind of dispense zombies faster. We could kind of collaborate and plan in the moment a lot faster than when there were three of us. So yeah. I did like that aspect
we
of it.
We could commence with the strategery.
That's right.
Faster. Yeah. That round, though, was unfortunate because, you know, back to skills.
Right.
Vance, he can search and move when there's a single zombie on the tile,
right.
Which normally you can't do. It has to be completely clear of zombies before you can advance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool, but he cannot be equipped with guns.
Right.
So he's melee only, as his, you know, his portrait portrays.
Right.
And that sounds awesome, and it's awesome for a little bit.
Yeah.
But then when you get in the loot pile and you just cannot find melee weapons and you're just defenseless,
yeah,
that's a problem.
That is a problem.
That is tough.
That is a big problem. And at the end of the game, that is one of the rounds where we actually lost because I had nothing to use. And I'm like,
right.
I'm sorry, Adam, but I have nothing. And then we ended up getting overwhelmed. But
right.
Yeah, definitely with less people, that would be really tough because when we had four people, we were able to continually like go through the loot pile, you know, so we're constantly looting
mm-hmm.
so we can find, so someone can use the guns, and then when we do find the melee weapons, he's easily able to pick those up. But
right.
with just two people, I imagine that would be really difficult.
Yeah, and the weapons are very cool. I'm not sure why this particular suburb is packing so much heat, but... There's AK-47s, revolvers. There is a character that carries a bow and arrow, and I think you can start each round with that bow and arrow, which is very cool. Machetes, golf
yeah.
clubs, just about
golf
anything
clubs.
You'd find in a domestic home.
One of the cool features about actually the characters is that they all have starting items, and... The weapons actually match the weapons that the character uses in the artwork, like
mm-hmm,
in his portrait.
Right.
And I kind of loved that detail,
yeah.
actually, because like Vance has two machetes, so the starting weapons are actually machetes.
Right.
And that makes a lot of sense when
it
you
does.
Think about it. And so that was a cool like feature, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It is
so,
cool.
So like you as Hazel
right.
had a guitar every round, which is pretty awesome,
that
I gotta
cool.
say.
Yeah. And you'll be able to find other things as you progress through this campaign of 15 different locations. You can find what are look like little backpack tokens that you can collect and then spend to acquire upgrades and additional equipment to move on to the next round. And these are things like cheeseburgers and you can
cats,
do an improvised
dogs.
Shield. Right. Animals. That maybe you didn't have the previous round because you have searched more extensively, you get a bonus going into the next round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought the special items were really cool too,
mm-hmm.
and also fun to use. I remember one of the people I was playing with chose a cat as one of his special items, and
yeah.
that ability is that you can ignore the next growl. And so we're like, wait, so
right.
how does that work? And we decided that you actually just throw the cat behind you. And the horde is distracted and, like, eats the cat. And then you move on. So that was
right?
pretty funny.
Yeah, actually, Steven kind of did a similar thing. He had a smoke grenade, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when I triggered that 20 zombie horde,
right.
and I had, you know, a machete, and I'm by myself.
Right.
I just popped my smoke grenade and just ran away.
Yeah.
And so that Adam could join me and we could take him on at a later time.
Yeah.
That's
Without
cool.
that, you probably would have died. Without that smoke
most
grenade.
Assuredly.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it was very cinematic because all
was.
That kind of stuff with the awesome soundtrack
yeah.
and with the awesome like artwork on the tiles, you know, it really makes sets the mood, has an awesome
no.
setting, I guess you could say. And running into this house and finding all these zombies and then picturing just throwing a smoke grenade down
right.
and like running away, it was very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the game is very cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time limit. Especially adds to that because you know you're constantly racing against the clock, and so even if things are going well and you're progressing through the level, if you're not doing it quick enough and you're taking time to make all your decisions, things can get out of hand quickly, and you can just lose the game by not making it in time.
Right.
And then when you do make it with like 10 seconds left, oh man, it's crazy.
Right.
It's awesome.
You stand up, you high five each other.
Yep.
Yeah.
Flip the table.
Flip the table. No, not really, because it takes about 20 minutes to set up each one of these scenarios.
Yeah, but I was going to say, that's the one complaint I have is that setting it up takes forever. And not only setting up just like the tiles for the scenario, but then relegating all of the items that people have back into the pile, the zombie cards, getting people their starting equipment back, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is definitely the one big drawback or complaint I have is that between the board, if you want to call it, for each scenario being different and larger. I mean, at one point, ours went almost the full width of the table.
Right.
And yeah. I didn't even have space like for my character sheet or anything. I'm like, wow, well, I can't do anything right now. And then every round you have to set up the starter zombies.
Right.
On each tile.
Yep.
So if you have three zombies on every tile and you have 18 tiles, like that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And then you have to, it gets bogged down a little bit.
Right.
And then when it starts, it's awesome for like the 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's 20 minutes of setup for 15 minutes of play, if not less time of play, you know, if you do it faster than that.
Right.
And that is, that can be a little bit annoying, but the game is still so unique and so fun that it makes up for it.
Right.
I think it's worth it. And if you just have one person or like two people building the board and setting up zombies, the other one's dealing out the cards, then you can divide up the work pretty nice and you just want to get onto the game because it's that much fun. So I think it's worth it.
Right. And the game comes with 100 zombie miniatures. And Steven, you mentioned you really enjoy miniatures. And I think if these were just tokens...
Oh,
this game would be awful.
That wouldn't work nearly as well.
No, not. It wouldn't be awful, but those miniatures are great. Especially when you see them stacking up in the horde box. That's just the greatest idea, having a horde box. Because you could just be like, set some zombies off to the side for the horde when it comes in. But the fact that there's this box that says horde, and just zombies are piling up, literally piling, because you can have so many that they don't fit in the box anymore. That is intense. And just every second you're just glancing over it, like, oh, when's the horde going to show up? It's awesome.
The character miniatures are awesome because each one is like color-coded to match the character sheet.
Right.
And then, is molded to look like the character, like with their weapons and everything.
Right.
So as a fan of that kind of stuff, it's definitely one of the highlights for me.
Yeah.
For sure.
This is a larger box game. It's a little bit pricier, as you would imagine. But in terms of a miniatures game of this size, I think it's a very reasonable price. Maybe like Seth, I know they probably have this at Rooks, being a yellow game, so you can just pull it off the shelf and give it a try.
That's for sure.
But maybe find somebody who has this game and give it a try first. I think the solution that Steven and I came to concerning the setup, at least of the board, was if you know somebody who has access to a plotter, you could potentially print each one of these large boards out on kind of a 24 by 36 piece of paper, and you just roll out a new board rather than having to set them up. And I would love to play this game all 15 kind of in a row and just do a full campaign like in an afternoon.
Yeah.
But there's no way I would do that having to set each tile up. So.
Yeah, overall, the game works very well. It's fun. It is thematic, it's intense, and it makes you just want to keep playing it, even with the setup. So
here's a question. We enjoy two other timed games as well. We've got Escape, Curse of the Temple, and Pingo Pingo.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to grab one of these three off the shelf, which would you grab?
Zombie 15, hands down.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What were the options, Jen?
The three-time game, Steven. Wow, I'm honestly surprised it's taking this long. I don't know, I really like this game.
Yeah.
Well, I really like this game, too, but I'm I'm trying to work out the scenario, because if you are at a game shop wanting to try out a game real quickly, again, the setup for this one takes it down a couple notches for me.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that makes me, because gameplay-wise, this one hands down.
Right.
However, sitting in a shop, first time playing it, or even if it's not your first time, mm-hmm. taking the time to get all this out, all the miniatures, cover a table with the board and do everything mm-hmm. else, that's a lot of work to do well, let's just play this game real quick while we're at the shop kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So that is a drawback.
Yeah.
Seth,
you say it like that, but I did go to a game shop with friends, and we did just pull this off and play it, and we were fine, and no one was complaining about how long it took. We all just worked together to set it up.
That's awesome.
It's that much fun. Whereas Pingo,
you need to hang on to that game group.
Yeah, no, they're a good group of people, for sure.
Yeah.
You shout out to Seth's group of people.
That's right.
Whoever they may be.
Tara just got home. She could talk about Zombie 15. You don't want Tara to talk because you got a beef.
Yeah. Well,
No, that's not it at all.
What?
Yeah. Steven may have a beef with you.
What?
No, I don't.
Steven, talk to me.
Fine. Okay. We were talking about Zombie 15 and about how you always followed me into the house and got like 8 zombies right after I cleared the area. And yeah, that was the beef.
Is that really your beef, really?
Yeah, that was
Wow, that was not as exciting as I thought it was going to be.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. But dude, worth it though.
Any last thoughts, gentlemen, before we sign out?
This is episode 25, by the way.
All right.
25.
Nice. Wow.
That's right.
That's like halfway to 50.
I was going to say that's a quarter of the way to 100.
It is both of those things, yes.
It's halfway to 50, which is halfway to 100, which is halfway to 200. So really, this is almost our 200th podcast.
That's pretty close.
This has been episode 25. Thanks for listening,
or
episode everybody.
200.
Okay. Listen again for episode 26 coming soon.
Okay, yep, we're
good
done.
Night.
Good night.
Show's over, boys.
Welcome
starting
to the
board.
Oh yeah!
Wow!
You start every time.
Welcome. Are you starting? Oh wait.
That was lag. Okay.
No, what is going on here?
You have to say I'm starting.
Okay.
Should I do it?
Okay. Yeah.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Should I do it?
I mean, I might as well. I'm already going to be talking.
Yeah.
I was
moderating
to the board game point of view.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go for it.
Yes.
Oh my god!
Don't mess it up!
You mess up 100% of the info you don't say.
Every time!
Hey, I just wanted to make sure it's authentic, alright?
Stop!
Alright, okay, I'll shut up.